It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Citizens of Jefferson County continue to challenge plans to build a factory in their county.
It's just a matter of time before this water flood of citizenry finds the weak places in the wall and undermines the foundation that this thing came here on.
That's coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. West Virginia's legislative auditor has issued a report and other materials related to the state's inventory of firearms and ammunition. According to an audit, 58 state agencies are exempt from purchasing requirements and therefore would not be subject to firearms inventories. As a result, the state does not have an accurate count on how many firearms it owns, resulting in a substantial risk to public safety and liability to the state of West Virginia. In a letter addressed to Senate President Mitch Carmichael and House Speaker Roger Hanshaw, the Legislative Auditor's Office suggests changing state code to make it mandatory for all agencies to keep an inventory of firearms. A full report on the Public Service Commission's storage of firearms was also delivered Tuesday. It says the PSC holds an accurate inventory of its firearms and has a strong physical controls in place to protect them. However, the report also states that the PSC does not maintain an accurate inventory of ammunition. This summer will mark 1 year since thousands of residents in Jefferson County started a movement to rally against a Denmark-based company called Rockwool. The company's proposed West Virginia plant would manufacture stone wool insulation across the street from an elementary school. The issue has sparked contention throughout the region. As Liz McCormick reports, the voices from those against Rockwool have grown louder, but so too have those who do want Rockwool in West Virginia.
Mention Rockwool to anyone in Jefferson County and you'll likely get a range of responses. If you drive along almost any road in the county, you'll find sign after sign that read, "Say no to Rockwool" or "Stop toxic Rockwool." In fact, along some roads, there are giant signs propped up on trucks and trailers saying that same message. It's clear many in the county do not want this plant built. Since pushback to the proposed Rockwool plant erupted almost a year ago, the community has only grown more divided. Those against the plant have taken their challenges to the courts, but those in support of the plant have gotten more organized too.
I am the secretary of Jefferson County Prosperity. It is prosperity for all of Jefferson County.
That's Kearneysville resident Barbara Fuller. Jefferson County Prosperity formed as a result of the strong opposition to Rockwool and is the only pro-Rockwool group in the county, with 50 active members and more than 1,000 likes on Facebook.
Everybody wants it to be back the way it used to, where people weren't at each other's throats. I mean, I can go into Walmart now and they'll know who I am and, you know, I'll get nasty glares, which is crazy. And it never used to be like that. Jefferson County used to be so warming.
Fuller first spoke with West Virginia Public Broadcasting at one of Rockwool's open houses last August. At that time, she wasn't totally on board with Rockwool yet. But she says after doing her own research and going to the company's open houses, she's now strongly supportive and believes Rockwool will be a good neighbor, safe, and stand by their promises.
They want to give back. They want the people around to be happy. They want their employees to be happy.
Denmark-based Rockwool makes stone wool insulation by melting down basalt rock and recycled slag. And then those fibers are spun to create a wool-like material used to insulate buildings, industrial applications, or acoustic ceilings. The company wants to build a 460,000 square foot plant in Ranson, Jefferson County, and it would employ about 150 people earning wages between $35,000 and $85,000 a year. But its two 21-story smokestacks would tower over a local elementary school. Some in the county feel as if they were blindsided by state and county officials who invited Rockwool to locate here.
you weren't sure if this was scary or not.
That's Harper's Ferry resident Sean Amos.
People had questions, and we weren't sure how we had gone from nothing and then sort of just this trickling of information about some Danish company that was coming to, oh my gosh, there's a giant polluting factory about to be dropped down in the backyard across the street from an elementary school.
Amos is a board member of the leading Rockwool opposition group called Jefferson County Vision, the not-for-profit group formed out of a Facebook group called Concerned Citizens Against Rockwool that has nearly 11,000 members. Jefferson County Vision's mission statement includes fighting for clean air, clean water, and clean government. The group has filed FOIA requests against the Jefferson County Commission and the Jefferson County Development Authority, or JCDA, all related to Rockwool. They've also filed lawsuits against the JCDA and the state. These lawsuits are still pending, but Amos is confident that Rockwool will be defeated.
This Why? Factory is not coming here because the citizens have decided that it will not be built here. This will not happen here. And it's just a matter of time before this water flood of citizenry finds the weak places in the wall and undermines the foundation that this thing came here on.
The debate over Rockwool even sparked upset during the 2018 election. Some new Jefferson County commissioners were elected, and two House of Delegates seats in Jefferson County flipped from red to blue. Delegates Sammy Brown and John Doyle, both Democrats, were elected, and both are adamantly opposed to Rockwool. Here's Delegate John Doyle.
I would venture to say, if an accurate poll were taken, if you hired an expensive polling firm to do a thoroughly accurate poll, that the results would be something like 20% of the county's population would be in favor of Rockwool, 60% against, and 20% undecided. So it's essentially, among those who have an opinion, it's 3-1 against.
Despite this, though, Rockwool isn't backing down.
We really respect the commitment that we made to the community to build the factory and create the jobs. That was a commitment on our side, and they made some commitments to us.
In a Skype interview with Rockwool's North American president, Trent Ogilvie, West Virginia Public Broadcasting asked if it was still worth locating to Jefferson County, given the level of pushback from so much of the community.
We respect that some local citizens may have a different view and have a right to air their concerns. And there, all we ask is to engage in constructive, fact-based, open-minded conversation. We respect concern, and we just want to make sure we can engage and be transparent and answer their questions.
Rockwool has been active within the county in the past year. The company has attended various community events and even donated $30,000 to the Shepherdstown Volunteer Fire Department. But Rockwool is facing a new challenge. The Jefferson County Board of Education this month offered to purchase the land from Rockwool and use the site to build a regional student support center. Rockwool filed a lawsuit against the Board of Education, stating the move violates the company's state and federal constitutional rights. Despite the pushback and division within the county, Rockwool President Ogilvie says he expects the plant to be operational by mid-2020. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Shepherdstown.
Hospitals in West Virginia have banded together to sue some of the country's largest opioid companies. West Virginia has the nation's highest opioid overdose rate. Hospitals are saying companies flooded Appalachia with powerful painkillers and forced medical centers to deal with financial repercussions. Nearly 30 West Virginia hospitals and 10 affiliates in Kentucky have signed onto the suit filed Monday. Their lawyer says it's the first time a large group of hospitals has taken legal action against opioid firms. The lawsuit seeks monetary damages to cover the costs of treating people with opioid addictions. OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma and members of its controlling family, the Sacklers, are named as defendants, along with distributors such as AmerisourceBergen and Cardinal Health. The companies did not respond to voicemails seeking comment. Direct care providers work with some of our most vulnerable citizens, such as the elderly and people with disabilities. But recruiting and retaining quality caregivers is becoming increasingly difficult for care providers in West Virginia. Carol Lofton reports.
Taylor Reynolds has been working as a caregiver for people who have severe autism for 5 years and says she loves her job at a care provider called Autism Services. But 3 years ago, she went back to school.
I like working at Autism Services, but I don't want to stay there forever because I can't really make enough money to do things like buy a house. I mean, I'm making a car payment right now and paying rent, and that's almost too much for me. So I would like to have a better job that pays me more, even though I like my current job.
Taylor makes $11.75 an hour, doing everything from helping clients with bathing and getting dressed, to taking them to doctor's appointments, to taking medications and eating meals.
I could work other places and get paid more, and it would be nice, but at the same time, it's like I enjoy what I'm doing.
Starting pay at Aldi's, for instance, is $12 an hour. At $11.75 an hour, Reynolds is at the top of the pay scale for autism services.
We have about 1,200 vacancies just within our membership across the state of West Virginia.
Mark Drennan is the executive director of the West Virginia Behavioral Healthcare Providers Association.
We had had a rate increase in 2011. It was a significant rate increase, which increased our ability to recruit and pay a generous wage to people at that rate.
Direct service providers are generally reimbursed through Medicaid, which has a maximum amount they will pay for that work. To pay a care worker like Reynolds more, the legislature actually has to pass a waiver rate increase like they did in 2011. The problem for people like Drennan began when the state legislature passed a 20% minimum wage increase in 2016.
And in this field, you really have to stay a couple of dollars, $3 ahead of minimum wage to really be able to draw those folks in, or then you lose them to to the Sheets of the world or fast food or Walmart, and so when that 20% rate increase took place, it really restricted our amount, our ability to pay a fair wage for those positions.
Drennan says the reason for that is because the work DSPs like Reynolds do can be really difficult. It also requires training and a special kind of personality. Not to mention, workers can't have a criminal record and must be able to pass a drug test. When wages don't make the work financially appealing, it's difficult for places that provide services to the elderly and disabled to compete.
Some people might not even bother applying when you can make more, like Chick-fil-A or Aldi starting out.
Or when you want to buy a house or not live paycheck to paycheck.
You know, sticking around and being there for those people when you end up caring about them, I think, is the reason that I'm still there.
But when Reynolds graduates from college, she plans to move on. She says if the job paid more, she would stay on indefinitely. In 2019, the West Virginia House of Delegates introduced a bill that would raise the minimum wage to $12 an hour by 2022. That bill didn't pass, but it's pretty scary for people like Drennan. He says that for the state to continue caring for its rapidly aging population, it needs more workers. And to recruit more workers, the pay for direct service providers has to stay ahead of minimum wage. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.